That Gradual is a perfect song for me continuing this series on the spirituality of caregiving. And I'm going to begin today by sharing a part from Henry Nouwen's book, The Wounded Healer, where he shares the following. When we become aware that we don't have to escape from our pains, but that we can mobilize them in a common search for life, those very pains are transformed from expressions of despair into signs of hope. His friend Ann shares, I had to return to the rehab hospital, and a friend came along for support. While I was waiting for the nurse to complete the formalities, the tears came at having to be there again. I looked up, and both my friend and the nurse were in tears as well. I shall never forget that. The sense of being fully understood and cared for was very profound. It ended with us having a good laugh together. You know, there are those moments in life where it's just spontaneous. Like for Anne, when she went back to the rehab hospital, for her, it was one too many trips. It was just overwhelming for her, and so she began to cry. But fortunately, she had a good friend there with her, along with a nurse, who also were, if you will, I think, captivated in the moment, caught up in it, and shared that feeling of sadness and brokenness and tears with her as well. And then afterwards, they had a good laugh too. So there was a lot of incredible emotion that was going on that they were sharing. But it's a wonderful illustration for you and for me about how pain can be transformed. One of the realities in the human condition that I found over the years, especially in my ministry, is that people, if they're going to get stuck somewhere, they'll get stuck in their pain, always stuck there. And the pain is usually covered over by addictions. That's usually a good place to check out if somebody's addicted or struggling with something. It isn't just a matter of a disease, but usually there's some pain involved as well, I believe I found. And so, or a pain from a broken relationship, or whatever your pain might be a physical pain. But usually that pain is a place where people get stuck, and they're always in pain. It's all they can talk about, and they're focused in on the pain. But the good news that we have here today is that that doesn't have to be the final word, and that pain can actually be a place of transformation for you and for me if we would be open to God's grace in that and guiding and leading our steps in that path. We don't know the way for that journey. But God does. God can lead us from that pain into a place of healing, into his balm of Gilead, and transform it and give us hope, give us a sense of community, and even give us a sense of joy at the end of the day. Now and continues to invite us into Luke 6:36, be compassionate as your heavenly Father is compassionate. And one of the things we've learned is that care is compassion. To care for somebody and to reach out to them in love is a beautiful, wonderful, transforming thing to do. And as we do that, we affirm that the other person that we're sharing this compassion with, that we're caring for, is a brother or a sister. They're a human being just like us, who is vulnerable, mortal, and also beloved by God. Now, at times it's hard to affirm that, especially when the person is in pain or is being a pain. Right? It's hard to do that in those moments. And we've all been in that place where we've been that to another person and vice versa. But at the same time, that's where grace comes in. That's where love comes in. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. That we're able in that moment to be present to that person and to share humanity with them and realize that just like us, they have their good days and their bad days. As we share those feelings and realities with someone, we also face our own mortality and pain in our life, especially with the elderly or the terminally ill. So in those moments, we need to be open to tears and laughter. We need to be open to sharing stories and also silent gazes. There are moments that we share with one another in this spirituality of caregiving. And one of the things that I think that's really important for you and I to realize is that there will indeed be moments of silence. And a lot of times in those moments of silence, what people try to do is they try to fill them with words. or activity. Or maybe they leave because they're very uncomfortable with silence. But what you and I need to realize is that those moments of silence can really be a tremendous gift. That they're part of the dialogue, if you will. That they're spontaneous. And that there's something that the Spirit is doing in that moment that calls forth a silence. Maybe a reflection. Maybe an understanding about what's going on in the relationship. There are places for all of our lives where we need to pause. Don't need more activity. Don't need to do something. Don't need to say something. You just need to be still and wait in the moment and allow that to happen. That's a very healing thing that can take place and a very important thing. Hebrews 2:14, now and goes on to share this as well, says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held to slavery by their fear of death." And you know, again, as we walk in this reality of caring for one another and our spiritual life, one of the things that you and I will find is that we have fears. Again, fear is part of the human condition. And we can be afraid of so many different things, can't we? Sometimes we are afraid of the dark. Sometimes people are afraid of snakes. Well, usually they're afraid of snakes. people can be afraid of heights or getting in an airplane. I know people that live up north that drive down here. They do not fly because their fear of flying is that great. People usually as human beings have a tremendous fear of death. There's a fear of dying. And you know what? That's also a very normal human feeling. If you've ever been in a situation where you were facing death, it's a scary thing. Maybe you were in an accident, a car accident, or just escaped an accident that would have killed you. Maybe you're walking along on a mountain and you slipped and you were just able to grab something before tumbling down. Or maybe you had been facing an illness in your own life and the prognosis was not good and you really had a sense that death was at your door. That can be a very scary experience. But the promise for you and me as believers is that we don't have to be a slave to that fear of death anymore. Every week as you and I come to this sanctuary, there's this cross. We don't move it. We don't take it out. It's always there. It will always be there. And the reason why the cross is in the center of the sanctuary at the very front of the altar is because it reminds us that Jesus Christ died on a cross like that in order to atone for our sins, that our relationship might be restored with him. For God so loved the world that we read about in the gospel today that he gave his only son to the end that all that believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the other thing that you and I rejoice in is that not only did he die on the cross for our sins, but that death was not the final word in his case, but rather resurrection. You know, when you go to Israel, if you've been to Israel before, and you go to visit the two tombs that they believe where Jesus was laid, there's two of them, they're not sure which one's which. But if you go to the tombs, both of them are empty. And so, you know, again, as believers, we come to tombs, we come to places where our Lord's body is not there because he's risen from the dead. And so we celebrate that new life in Christ, and we celebrate the reality that we serve a God who births resurrection from death. That again, for you and I, death is not the final word, but it is resurrection. That we serve a God who wipes tears from our eyes. And we also serve a God who brings us home. He'll bring you home. You know, on that day when you pass on, whenever it might be, and I hope it's not for a while yet, but on that day when you pass on, he's going to be able to bring you home. He's ensured that journey for you and for many who have come before you already. He's able to bring you home. And you know, you and I can have a hope in that and a grace in that and a faith in that that is powerful and life-giving and hope-giving as well. I've been in rooms a lot of places where people have passed on. And there have been some people that I have been with who have just been scared to death to die. They just were totally afraid. They were paralyzed by their fear. They didn't know what was coming. They felt bad about their life. There was just a lot going on there. Let me tell you something. To be in that situation with that person, it always breaks my heart when I'm with someone like that. It's just heartbreaking because of where they're at. And then at the same time, I've had experiences when I've been with people who are dying who have a sense of forgiveness, the love of God, the Lord's forgiveness, the Spirit. There's reconciliation. They've confessed their sins. And there's a sense of peace, a sense of calm, and that they're going home to be with the Lord. Much, much different atmosphere in that room. Henry Nouwen shares, it is precisely this faith in eternal life that can radically change our vision of caregiving. Jesus spoke repeatedly about eternal life and shared with Nicodemus, God so loved the world that he gave his only son that we might be with him for an eternity. And in the long run, caregiving can only truly be life-giving if it is seen and experienced in the service of eternal life. So hear this. Caregiving is a preparation for eternal life. Now, one of the realities as we give care to people is that a lot of times we'll see healing. They'll get better. They'll come out of the hospital fine and recovered. They'll come out of the nursing home from their joint replacement or whatever it was, and they're ready to get going again. You know, more often than not, what we see in these caregiving situations are people being healed and getting better. But do you realize that sometimes when you pray for healing for someone, that the healing for them might be death? It might just be their time to go and to move on. And in that situation, the important thing for you and me to do as believers, I think, is as much as we can to be open to that and to be an instrument of God's grace and mercy and love in that situation to that person who is transitioning into eternity. Now, there's a few mistakes that you and I make when this is going on. By the way, if somebody's going to die, they're going to die, regardless of how you or I feel about it. Now, one of the realities that you and I need to be aware of in that situation is that more often than not, we don't want to acknowledge it and what's happening, and so we don't honor what's going on in our midst. We don't see some of the things that are happening. One of the things that sometimes happens in a person's room or where they're at when they're going to be passing on is they'll see people from the other side. They might see their mother or their father. They might see a spouse or a loved one. Usually it's a family member. And a lot of times in the nursing homes or in the hospitals, what will happen is somebody will say to them, well, you know what, they're just hallucinating. They're just seeing things. This really isn't happening. It's just a part of what they're going through. They're going to be okay. But actually what's going on is there's a thinness between them and eternity that's beginning to happen. And actually they're beginning to get ready to pass on to the other side. And so what's happening is they're beginning to have a vision of their loved ones that are getting ready to welcome them. Some people have visions of angels and different things. And so let me just share with you, they are not hallucinating. These are all signs to you. Hello, this is a sign that maybe a lot of you have been denying, but I'm here to help you not deny it anymore. This is a sign to you that they're probably getting ready to move on to the other side. Now, let me just share this with you. I recently visited somebody in the hospital who's still here. She's out of the hospital. But I went to visit her in the room, and we got to talking, and she shared with me a vision she had. She had a vision of her husband who had passed on, along with another family member, and she had that vision. And I said, oh, that's interesting. And I said, what happened in the vision? And she goes, well, they told me it's not time yet. I said, well, that's good. You still have some more time. And she's out of the hospital now, going along. But what's important for you and I to do is be sensitive to what we're hearing and what's happening. and what's happening in their life. There is a spiritual reality. There is an eternity. There is an eternal life. And so these things begin to happen when that's occurring. Another thing that happens is that, you know, when I'm in those rooms with people, in the nursing homes or the hospital rooms or maybe at their homes where they're getting ready to pass on, one of the things that I begin to do is just make sure to spend time with them and be with them. And I just want to share with you, as you spend time with your loved one or a friend or a family member who maybe is on the edge of eternity, to make sure to spend time with them. You know, as you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a relationship with him, the Holy Spirit is with you, and there is innately in that an invitation for you to be a minister of God's grace to them, a minister of God's love, wherever they are and whatever they are going through. Sometimes I'm going into places and you can just feel like death and fear hanging over the room. Maybe the family's been on a long journey with this. It's been a real struggle for them. I mean, really, this is really some of the deepest things of life, aren't they? And so in the midst of that situation, the invitation for you and me is to be compassionate, to be sensitive to what's going on around us and what's going on in people's hearts, but also to be a minister of God's grace, to be a minister of God's love. Well, Father Joe, I'm not sure if they'll receive it that way or not. I'm not sure how they'll respond to me. Don't worry about it. Really, I'm saying to you, don't worry about it. You're there to be a minister of the Lord's grace and caregiving and mercy in that moment. And so as you come into the room with that person, as I've come into the room with them, sometimes they'll be conscious and sometimes they won't. One of the things which you probably know is that even if they're unconscious, they can still hear you. Their spirit can still perceive what's going on. And so one of the things as you come in and as you're in that room with them, one of the things I do with them is I talk to them. I encourage them. Maybe even sometimes I might sing in their room. I just sing some songs of praise and just welcome the Holy Spirit into the room and welcome the Lord's presence and welcome peace, welcome calm, welcome light, welcome grace, welcome faith. You know, you can change the atmosphere of a room, you as a believer, and you and I need to change the atmosphere of the room, especially where someone is near to going into eternity. We need to do that. And then another thing I'll do is I'll have some time to pray with them. Might be last rites or final prayers or whatever you want to call it. And one of the things I do with them, and we pray together, whether they're conscious or unconscious, it doesn't matter to me because they're still there. And we'll pray together. And first thing I'll do is just recommit my life to the Lord, and I invite them to do the same. Give your heart to Jesus. I don't know at that point, some of them, I don't know whether they know the Lord or not. I don't know what their life story has been. But you know what I do know is that they're getting close to eternity, and I want to have them to have an opportunity to come to Jesus. You know what? I want them to spend an eternity in heaven with the Lord and in heaven. I want everybody to be in heaven. That's what I want. And so I'm going to be out there inviting as many in as possible. And I pray that prayer with them, and then I also invite the Holy Spirit to come and fill us afresh with his love and his joy and his peace and all of those good things. And then I also lead the person in a confession of sin. Ask the Lord for forgiveness. If the family's around the bedside and if they're there, I invite them to be there. I invite them to share whatever they want to say to the person that hasn't been said yet. It is much better to say these things while they're still alive rather than after they pass. You can say it after they pass because, you know, again, I believe their spirits are still alive, but it's usually much better before they pass. There's just a better closure there. And then after we have that time together of praying and being with one another, I lead them in a particular psalm. Now, you might be wondering, why is Father Joe sharing this with me? I did not come to hear this at church today. Well, the reason why I'm sharing this with you is because you might be saying to yourself, well, Father Joe, that's what you do. You're a priest. That's what priests do with people who are dying. That's your job. Well, what happens if Father Joe's not there or Father Christian's not there? And you're the one who's there. Guess what? It's your job. That's why you're there. But Father Joe, I've never done that before. Oh my gosh, I could never do that. That is just so, even the thought of that scares me. Well, I'm sharing this with you. This is part of the spirituality of caregiving. Part of caregiving is a preparation for eternal life. And so you and I have been blessed. We are blessed to be with someone who's on the edge of eternity. I mean, if everything that we're celebrating here is true, if it's really true that there is a heaven, and if it's really true that we're going to be there for an eternity in the sweet by and by, and if even half of the stories that we've heard about heaven are true, and how great and glorious and wonderful and peaceful, and I don't want to come back from here to earth, how great it is, then why aren't we more happy about it? Really, why aren't we more happy about it? Why aren't we looking forward to it? I've been up by people's bedsides who are near death, and we were celebrating that they were going into glory. We were singing praises to God. We had tears streaming down our face. We were going to miss them, but it was a celebration. Yeah, the phone. And as the death angel comes to usher that soul into heaven, you can share a very special moment with them of being part of the Lord's preparation for them. So I want to share with you a psalm. It's my go-to psalm in a lot of things, but especially in this moment. And your mind might blank out when you're in this situation. That's okay. I got a psalm for you that you can go to. It's on page 612 in the Book of Common Prayer. Page 612 in the Book of Common Prayer. We're going to say this psalm in unison, but this is my go-to psalm. This is what I do at the very end after I've done all the things I've shared with you. Page 612, I read with them Psalm 23. I take them to Psalm 23 because you know what? The most important thing that we can remember at this moment where a person is passing on is that the Lord is their shepherd. You know, they've given their lives to Christ. They've opened themselves up to the Holy Spirit. They belong to the Lord now. The Lord is their shepherd, and the Lord is your shepherd. And he does not abandon you in any situation, especially in this one. How beautiful to be reminded of this in these moments. And so what I do is I read this one. Actually, I've memorized it. I've used it so many times. But I simply say this into their ear, or get close to them, or maybe we say it together, just as an affirmation of the presence of the Lord and being with them. And so I just want to encourage you, as you have opportunity to be with people who are on the edge of going into eternity, if you don't remember anything that I've said, it's okay. Just remember Psalm 23. Have a prayer book with you. Have a Bible with you when you go into that room and take them to Psalm 23. Love them. Pray for them. Lift them up. Bring them to Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill them. Fill that room with the joy of the Lord, with the expectancy of heaven, with the angels of the living God. When they die, let them die to go on and be with the Lord, that they might be one of those people that greet you when you cross over to the other side. I can't wait for heaven. I'm enjoying this down here. This is good. But I'm telling you, I cannot wait. Can't wait. It's going to be so great. The Lord is our shepherd. So let us read together Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.